888-553-7536. His help continues from Dr. Ken Kronhaus on the air for the second big hour of this Thanksgiving weekend. Lots of news earlier in the week. Things pretty much slow down with everybody except the eating. So Ken's had his warnings about that. And it's, by the way, a little late. If you're worried about Thanksgiving or the day after and eating and eating and eating and eating, if you don't have any, at this point in time, any indications that there's a problem, it's probably not going to be, right? It doesn't, if you're going to have a problem from overeating, if your body is in a bad place to begin with, it would have pretty much immediate impact, wouldn't it, Ken?
Well, there are some immediate impacts to it, but there's also long-term, as common as high blood pressure, but there are also obesity. It's linked to all the common ailments that are horrible. Heart disease and cancer, inflammatory illnesses, all have a link to being overweight.
The amount and the quality of the food that you are eating makes a great deal of difference, so be aware of that. 888-553-7536. The blog is at drkenshow.com, which is Ken's website. You can blog there. Click on the upper right-hand corner, and there's that tab there will allow you to have conversation back and forth about medical issues with Dr. Ken. On the air now is Tom with a question for Ken. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, my question is, how do you get faith in doctors and hospital again? Something happened to me less than a year ago. I went to my internal medicine doctor, and I said, I got a hernia. And he said, well, I'm going to introduce you to a surgeon. So I went into the hospital, and the surgeon did his thing. About a month ago, I get a call from the Nevada Medical Board and said, how are you feeling? I said, not really good. I'm tired, and my hernia is back. The skin's coming off my right ear. I just don't feel good. And I said, what do you want to know? He said, well, his last patient died. He had malpractices since 1998. And she said to me, he's going before the medical board.
All right, so they were checking with you to find out if you had some of the same problems and warning you.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so Ken, what do we do about this?
Well, the problem here is that you have a poor primary care physician. That primary care physician should not have been referring you to this person. And you have all the right to feel like your faith in the system didn't work. This should never have happened. And this is why I urge everybody to have a good primary care physician. And the good primary care physician, the way you know is because they're looking out for you. They have your interests ahead of their own. And you can tell. After a while, you will know. And yours clearly did not. I don't want to tell you to start any trouble, but you have an action against it. Did you talk to your internist who referred you?
It's gone. All right. The bottom line here is that you, again, trusting your gut. Too many people place too much blind faith in medical experts, supposed experts, without using any common sense. This has been the case for way too long. I've seen it in my family. You build up a relationship with a doctor. You like him. You trust him. At least you think that he or she is worthy of your trust. And yet there are other things that are going on. The world of medicine is changing so quickly. All you have to do is listen every weekday to the Good Day program. You hear Dr. Ken talking about three or four things that are changing each day. And that probably could be multiplied by 10, the amount of knowledge that's being done, the research in the various research colleges and universities, the work done by pharmaceutical companies, the work done on the other side, the alternative side. I mean, the volumes that are changing every single day. And so that's the argument some say for having specialists. But the other side of it is, if your doctor doesn't keep up with what's going on, by the way, there are just bad doctors like there are bad of anything, right? I mean, there are some people who have no business being a doctor.
Well, there's good and bad and everything, but
yeah.
You need to have somebody you trust, and that shouldn't happen. There's more to that story, and the fact that he hung up, there's just so much more to that story than we will ever know.
Well, but it gets down to the bottom line of some people do have experiences with doctors that are bad because they're bad doctors.
Correct.
And that's why you got to check them out. It's silly. People trust everything without asking questions. It's you wouldn't do that if you were buying a car. Would you let somebody else buy the car for you? It's bizarre, actually.
Trust but verify.
Yeah. 888-553-7536. Some interesting news this week about the first artificial windpipe that has come from stem cell research, and it seems to be successful. What? Identify where the windpipe is, first of all, Ken, will you?
Yeah, this is the medical breakthrough of the week. It was reported in the medical journal Lancet this week. The windpipe is your air pipe. It's the trachea. You open up your mouth, and things can go one of two ways, down into the food pipe, the esophagus, or down into the air pipe, the trachea, and the trachea leads into the lungs. And this is an interesting story. It's a real happy outcome. It just makes me feel wonderful about medicine after hearing the story that we just heard. This is a 36-year-old husband and father of two children, Doug, had an inoperable tumor in his trachea, which is the air pipe, the windpipe, and received the world's first artificial trachea, which was made with stem cells. And that's what the breakthrough is here, because this was his own stem cells, so there was no rejection. He's not going to be on these horrible, powerful medicines that you need to stay alive after a transplant. But they do have a lot of side effects because the immune system is now made to be real weak and timid. The transplant surgery was performed this past June at the Karolinska University Hospital in Stockholm, Sweden. And without this transplant, the gentleman was from Reykjavik, Iceland, he would have died. He had a golf ball-sized tumor on his trachea. It began to restrict his breathing. If you have a golf ball inside your windpipe, you're not going to be able to get any air down there, and you are going to assume room temperature pretty quickly. He had a 12-hour procedure. Bless the heart of the patient and the staff, everybody in that OR, and the doctors completely removed this affected area of his trachea and replaced it with an artificial one. He's doing well, and they actually did some amazing engineering. They did a three-dimensional scaffolding of his air pipe before they even did this, and then built it up with stem cells. Just an amazing marvel of ingenuity, and he's been doing great ever since this was put in.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about how a tumor like that would grow on a there. Why would a tumor start? I mean, some of the things that you learn about tumors and where they start seem to make sense, but how would a tumor get started in that part of your body?
A tumor could get started in any cell in the body that just has uncontrollable division. The DNA inside the cell nucleus is supposed to control this whole dance, but if that's not functioning properly, any cell in your body can start wildly dividing. And why it happens, whether there was something environmental that affected that cell, whether there was something in the genes of that cell that made it happen, stay tuned. Maybe in 10, 20 years we'll understand it.
So when you talk about things like breast cancer, one of the common problems, certainly cancer-wise, with women. Why would a cell congregate or a group of cells come together in the breast tissue versus your hips, for example?
There's fatty tissue
in your hips and there's fatty tissue in your breast. So why?
You're asking questions that are really not totally understood. Some cells divide more often. They're more sensitive. They're more sensitive to the environmental issues. Things accumulate due to blood flows differently. You know, you're asking these are questions which hopefully the medical scientists throughout the world in the next 10 to 20 years will answer.
Yeah, interesting though that it is as it is. My daughter and I were having this conversation since the passing of her mom, which came about as a complication of breast cancer that she had for 20 years.
Breast tissue is very hormonally sensitive, mm-hmm. as opposed to the hips, which later in life don't have as much sensitivity. And I think the reason why the woman's specific organs are so sensitive to cell division abnormalities, which is all the cancer is, not to be overly simplistic, but it's probably because they are these cells in the woman's reproductive tract, and including the breast, are so sensitive to hormones, and that's why they're sensitive to developing tumors.
Well, it's, again, you want to have yourself checked, depending on your history. Megan's decided to have MRIs instead of mammograms because what she's read has led her to believe the mammograms are after the fact. And I think what I read about it is she's right.
Has your daughter decide? What does your daughter think about alcohol, I would be wondering?
She's very careful about it.
Because that is something that we have known. It's the yin-yang of alcohol. It may be good for the heart, but if you're at high risk of breast cancer, it's poison.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there isn't a genetic thing because they had that test done, and the mother didn't have it, and so it was more environmental. Mother grew up in an area of Georgia where there was a lot of dye stuffs. It's a woolen area. It's an area where a lot of rugs are made, and so that stuff is in the air all over the place still in those areas.
Well, give your daughter a glass of wine then.
And toast to her mother. 18 past the hour, 888-553-7536. Eunice, you, sir, are on now with Dr. Ken. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. But back in February, I had a lot of pain in my stomach, and finally I went to a gastro, and they did a colonoscopy.
Yes.
And he said he found a bunch of small inflammation in my small intestines. I forgot the little part that connects the small intestine with the colon.
The ileum, the terminal ileum.
Yes, that's the one. He said there was some inflammation there as well.
So what's your question for Ken?
Okay, my question is, because when I went back for a follow-up, my gastro put me on Crohn's disease medication, but he said, I'm not sure if you have it or not. And I don't know how else to find that. He said, we don't know if that's what it is, but from the biopsies they took and the doctor that did the biopsies, he said, in a clinical setting, I read the report. He said it would be Crohn's disease.
You still haven't asked a question, but, sir.
Okay.
I guess the question is, how do you know if it's Crohn's disease or not? How do you know if it's Crohn's disease or not? Well, let's just talk first about what, because this is a very common situation. I know this is not very satisfying for you, but this happens too often. Crohn's disease, it's an inflammatory bowel disease. It causes inflammation of the lining of your digestive tract. It can lead to abdominal pain, severe diarrhea, even malnutrition. And it can affect various areas of the digestive tract in different people. Classically, it's in the terminal ileum where it is. It was described extensively at the University of Rochester Medical School by a pathologist, but where I actually was an undergraduate, and so this rings some bells. And the problem is that it is sometimes tricky to make an absolute diagnosis, because you really do want to diagnose this by first doing the colonoscopy and also by ideally making a biopsy of it. But sometimes the pathologist is not crisply clear because it's not absolutely clear. What I would recommend to make this simple is have another by a pathologist review your slides of your biopsy. You know, have it sent to a university center where they are doing research on Crohn's. With a little bit of research, you could find that out. And you need to get somebody who spends most of their day thinking about Crohn's, who could look at your biopsy if it's in what we call equivocal or gray area.
All right, this is some good advice. It's pretty thorough. Thank you for your background and then your question. More questions for Dr. Ken coming up at 888-55-DRKEN.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP Brick Packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
As we age, we lose both strength and muscle mass. Undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows is nature's most powerful food to gain back lost muscle. Virtually all whey protein powders or drinks have been damaged during processing or are high in sugar. This damaged whey causes a significant loss in the ability of the body to build new muscle proteins. The high sugar content will stop all the benefits of your growth hormone from causing muscle repair. By giving your body easily absorbed, undamaged whey, free of added sugar, you may be able to gain back lost muscle and strength. One World Whey is truly undamaged whey protein powder free of added sugar. Both young and elderly are reporting increases in muscle strength and size without any additional exercise. Go to oneworldwhey.com, that's oneworldwhey.com, to read or hear some impressive testimonies to this effect. Or call 888-988-3325, that's 888-988-3325.
This heart of stone. Oh, no, no. This heart of stone.
It's now 23 after the hour on the Good Day Weekend program. Dr. Ken Kronhaus at your service and on your side at 888-553-7536. Sign up for the weekly health newsletter. You can go to Dr. Ken's website or to mine, DougStefan.com. Find Dr. Ken's picture. Click on that. It'll ask you to sign up there. Put your email in for the health newsletter that comes out pretty much every week. I think we don't do one on Christmas week
and
Thanksgiving week.
There'll be one coming
out
Monday.
What? Say that again?
We're going to have this week's come out Monday. So the staff had a holiday, and we needed to be nice to the staff.
I would have thought we'd just wait until next week and give everybody a week off of it.
We could do that.
Yeah. Why don't you wait until next Friday and do one then? Not make it so tough on yourself. Anyway, there's lots of great information there every week as a service. You can sign up for it and get it delivered to your email box every Friday afternoon. Go to drkenshow.com or dougstefan.com for the weekly health newsletter. Here's an email from John asking questions. Actually, this is a pretty thorough overview, interestingly enough. He wants to know about innovation in medicine, technology in medicine, mostly focused on gene-based services, and whether or not some of the things that you were talking about, for example, the stem cell story you just told, will that lower drug costs because of all of this sort of these new DNA? The DNA is different than stem cell, or is it? How are that's an interesting question in and of itself. DNA, how is it connected to stem cells in your body?
Well, the DNA is the genetic material in the body that tells the body how to make material, how to make the cells. And when this is not functioning right, you're going to have disease. And when we are able to get in there and affect the genetic structure, the genetic code, it's going to change the way we approach these things. And the stem cells are these very early cells that can divide into any part of the body, and if we can control that, we can make new parts. So there is some relationship, there is some overlap in these two areas. But the basic question is, are we going to find some cost-effective therapy? The simple answer is, if we can find a better effective treatment, we're going to save a ton. Just think back to the early days of polio, and when we had incredible expenses of the kids in the early 50s and 40s lying around in the polio wards, or tuberculosis before we had specific medications for that, the TB wards that have all closed and are doing something else today, serving another purpose. So if we, just like in medicine, there's been advances all decades. If we come up with another advance, and I think in the future a lot of it will come out of gene therapy, stem cell therapy, of course we're going to have much more cost-effective medicine. is unfortunately always a few steps backwards because this is very expensive. The research, the development, the application, extremely expensive until we get see the cost savings. So that's the reason why it takes some efforts to get there.
All right. I just Googled gene therapy and found something very interesting, Ken, an overview of how much money is spent on drugs. About half of the people who take drugs have a positive experience taking drugs. That sounds like a dirty little medical secret. Drugs are prescribed, and they only work in half of the circumstances. So all of the billions and billions and billions of dollars that are spent on prescription drugs in our country, you got to wonder.
It's hard to know how that's defined. You have to get so much, you know, a lot of that can be propaganda on either side. You know, that's a very vague statement. You have to get into the definition of effectiveness and what subgroups of people you're looking at. That's way too broad a statement to believe any credibility those. It depends on the situation. That's a very vague, broad statement.
Well, he quotes research done by or paid for by Medco Health Solutions, which is a company that manages drug prescriptions.
It's a drug benefits company. Anytime I prescribe a medicine, it's a cost to them. So you can see what side of the fence they sit on.
So what is the aim then? If they're telling us that half,
their expense is paying for the drugs.
So how do they work for the insurance companies, or the insurance companies pay them to find? I don't understand what.
Right. They are usually subletted to by the insurance companies to cut the expenses for the drugs that are supplied.
So
they're a drug benefits company.
And so. If I understand this correctly, this shows you how...
the money.
How many people even knew this company existed? That's what I find fascinating.
A lot of people. You're just not on enough pharmaceutical medicine. But a lot of people...
Not on anything. Thank God for that.
That's why you don't know about it. But trust me, most of our listeners have heard of them.
Really?
They are good because they get you product at a less expense, and they find the value out there on the market. But their expense goes up.
So they're buying drugs in the wholesale market and passing the savings because they buy a lot of them.
Exactly.
They pass the savings along to you. Okay, that's pretty
good. I've heard of them.
I'm asking you the question because what they do seems to be like an aggregator is the way you described it or defined it. They're an aggregator.
Exactly.
They buy lots of drugs and you buy them from them. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, listen, American, entrepreneurship, free enterprise and that sort of thing. And not a bad thing, at least in this circumstance. All right. So that's an interesting question that has an interesting answer from Dr. Ken. Back to the callers. 888-553-7536 for Dr. Ken as we continue.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey, everybody. Alex Jones here. If you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift, listen up. This will make your holiday shopping very easy. This year, give a seed bank from one of our oldest sponsors, Solutions from Science, to your friends and family. Here's why. The Survival Seed Bank will give any friend or loved one the ability to grow a full acre crisis garden of nutritionally dense, life-sustaining food. And the Survival Seed Bank is not just a box of open-pollinated seeds. It's an indestructible, waterproof seed bank that can even be buried if we face a real meltdown. And here's the best part. All the seeds in the Survival Seed Bank go through strict germination testing, so you can be confident you're not buying old seeds. Give a Survival Seed Bank this Christmas by going to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or you can call 877-327-0365 to give the gift that produces an ongoing supply of life-sustaining food.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
Now, also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start falling down.
Yeah. Before the Collapse by The Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by The Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
And iTunes.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
It's now 33 after the hour, 27 before the new hour. As you spend time with Dr. Ken Kronhaus and me, I'm Doug Steffen. This is the next stage of innovation. That is, your questions bring us to where you are right now, and Dr. Ken can bring you to a place that moves you forward. That's the whole idea.
May I ask a trivia question?
Ask away, Dr. K.
Trivia question of the week this week. And I'm not making this up. In the medical journals this week, the Journal of the American Dental Association, there's one hair color which seems to come in most conflict with the dentist. Is it black, red?
All right, just what color is it?
Blonde.
What color? Yeah, what color hair? Is this for men and women or just for women?
This study was done with women.
Okay.
What's the hair color that comes in most conflict with the dentist? Where the dentist sees the hair color and they run away the quickest.
All right. It seems kind of foolish, but it seems also it's pretty
I'm not making it up.
No, I know you're not. This is from the Journal of the American Dental Association. The article discusses certain hair color and how dentists have problems with women who have this hair color. 888-553-7536. Meanwhile, looks like Christy is next up from Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I was calling about on the 13th of November. I had been having a little bit of discomfort on the left side of the chest area, and I did go to the ER just to be sure it was a weekend.
Yes,
and they did a chest x-ray. My blood pressure's fine, 110, 75, never had any high blood pressure ever.
Great.
And no heart disease in the family. And then, so they were eliminating, you know, I know they're doing process elimination, and they didn't find a thing that gave me one of those nitro caps, whatever, under the tongue, which I didn't like that thing at all.
Other than dizziness, did it have any benefit?
No. It didn't quit. And then they wanted to observe me, they said, for a couple hours, and after 4 hours of observation, I said, I want to go home because I wasn't going to stay there all day long.
Uh-huh.
And so I, you know, had to release, you know, give release that I was leaving. And I went to my chiropractor the next day, which is a Monday, and he did some adjustment and things on my rib cage. And then within the day, it went away. And it came back a little bit yesterday. And I'm seeming to think it's probably a rib or muscle thing that I just kind of wanted to see. You had any ideas?
Sure, Christy. I'm glad you called. Obviously, the question here is whether this is your heart or not. And what we need to do is, the best way to determine this is your risk profile for having coronary disease. And you told me you don't have any blood pressure issues. What about your blood cholesterol, your blood sugar? Any issues there?
No, you know, they did the triglycerides were great. My HDL was good, higher than the LDL. So
what's your LDL? Bad question.
You know, I don't. They didn't give it to me, so I don't know.
What's your total?
And, you know, they didn't tell me that either.
Okay, so we don't know your cholesterol, and you don't have any diabetes.
No.
And what about your height and weight?
I'm 5'2" and about 122.
Okay, that's not too terrible. How old are you, may I ask?
Sure, 48.
Okay. You know, it's a little bit young for women to have heart disease in the big vessels that sit on top of the heart. It's not unheard of, so I can't rule it out immediately. There's another issue which is so common at your age. It's called microvascular angina. These are the tiny little blood vessels that go into the thickness of the heart. The most common person who has this is a 49-year-old female. So this could be what we call microvascular angina. Is it effort-related, or is it just come on unexpected? Is there anything you can do predictably that will bring this on?
No, it didn't, because when it happened the first time, it was like on a Friday at work in the afternoon, and nothing's during, you know, just my regular thing.
You didn't eat before it?
Friday, that day, I probably had lunch, and it would have been something light. I mean, I don't...
Nothing unusual?
No.
What about the rest of your risk profile? Are you a smoker? Any heart disease in the family?
No heart disease in the family.
What's the most strenuous physical activity you do? You do gardening? Do you do housework?
No, I don't. Just housework,
you
nothing.
Make beds?
Nothing. But nothing.
You make beds?
Yeah, just my own bed. But
does it come on when you make a bed? Making a bed's a lot of work.
No, it didn't. When it first came on, I was just at work, you know, and I'm a secretary person, so just doing paperwork, sitting at the computer. Nothing seemed to trigger it as far as a strenuous activity of physical.
If you press on the chest, can you reproduce the discomfort?
No. But it seems like when I was pressing on that area, and like the week before this happened, before the 13th, I know that my back, I was having muscular spasm pain.
Are you doing any strenuous lifting or any strenuous activity?
No.
Okay.
Nothing.
Christy, this is very vague, and what I would do is... I would hop you on. I would do what's called a stress echo, an exercise stress echo. I'm sure in Huntington Beach, California, you can find somebody to do that. No radiation, no needles. It's very helpful at diagnosing microvascular angina, because that would be the one thing about the heart that I would be concerned about, because your symptoms are very vague. Do you have any unexplained fatigue, shortness of breath, any others? Symptoms, the upper back, any jaw, neck discomforts, anything like that?
And that's right. I'm glad you asked me that, because that when I had it on the 13th, I was having TMJ problem on the left side. Excessive clicking when I ate, which was, I mean, I get that once in a while, but it was like a different clicking, even the adjustment on the TMJ.
You get some jaw discomfort.
Yeah, that left side will, you know, when I eat an apple or something, it will pop out, crack.
Find a doctor who is aware of microvascular angina. This is a newer diagnosis. It used to be called cardiac syndrome X, not metabolic syndrome X. And this is a real entity. The Mayo Clinic made a big deal about this, as did the American Heart Association a couple of years. This is so common. It's two-thirds women, one-third guys. It's called microvascular angina. It's the tiniest little vessels that go into the thickness of the heart, not the big ones that sit on top of the heart that usually cause the heart attack. It's probably the earliest form of coronary disease. And women who are perimenopausal, they're the most common people who have this, although it can occur in both sexes at any age.
Okay, and then just go to a radiologist for that.
No, I would talk to your internist or family doctor, and I would ask to see a cardiologist who is interested.
I mean, cardiologist, that's what I meant to say, yeah.
A cardiologist who's interested in microvascular angina because of your age and your sex and the vagueness of your symptoms.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're
Christy,
welcome.
Let me know what happens. I'd be glad to hear.
Let's see. Does Lee have an answer to the question? What, ladies, do we have in terms of hair color and not getting along with dentists? 888-553-7536. Lee in Alabama has a question for you, Dr. Ken. So, Lee, let's go with you.
Good morning, Dr. Ken.
Hi.
Hey, I got a question on something. During the last 3 months, I've been having dark to red urine, but it's not all the time. it could go 5 to 7 days and then have one, I'd say, instance of red urine like in the evening, and then in the mornings it'd be clear. It might go another 5 to 7 days. The doctor did a urine test on the day it was clear and a blood test, and that she said it came back normal.
So what's the question? What causes...
What may be causing the brownish to red urine?
Okay. Does it look tea-colored?
Kind of that sometimes.
It does look tea-colored. Let me tell you, every internal medicine intern in the country who has gone through the program, this is one of the things that's drummed into us. You know, you have to know this in your sleep, and I want to thank Duke University for teaching me this. Dark brown or tea-colored urine can be due to a number of things. Foods, large amounts of rhubarb, fava beans, aloe can all cause dark brown urine. There are medications that can do this. I don't know if you're on any medications right now. There's some antibiotics, laxatives can do it, muscle relaxants. Are you on anything like that?
No, they had me on meloxicam, but I was on there for a few days and this started
not do it. Also, more commonly, there are some medical conditions like liver and kidney disease can turn it brown. Urinary tract infection can do it. Have they checked specifically to make sure that there's no infection in the urine? You said that the urine sample was okay, so it sounds like it was okay. They've done a blood test to check your liver function, I hope?
Not yet.
Okay, that would be the next step. Do you like the adult beverage a little too much?
I don't drink at all.
You've never had that as an issue?
And I've, for the last 30 days, I've cut out everything except for water.
And you've never had hepatitis or anything like that?
You haven't had anything to eat for 30 days?
Well, water and food, you know, regular food, but water.
Get your liver checked, okay?
Okay.
That would be my next step, Lee, okay? But it sounds to me like your doctors are less concerned than you are. Hopefully, maybe this is just a transient thing, that there may have been an infection that's passed.
Does it hurt when you pee?
Kind of tingles.
Tingles. Do you take any vitamins?
Not a pain, but, you know, kind of a tingle.
Do you take any supplements or vitamins or anything?
Nothing.
Yeah. It could be something that, I mean, I'm not trying to be facetious. But I know when I first started drinking, particularly well water in one of the places where I lived, it had an impact on, because of the minerals that were in the water, the color of my pee. That could happen. That's certainly not without possibility, can, isn't it?
It's possible. Lee, there was no blood in the urine. They checked for that.
I collected samples on my own. I looked in, and it looked like something like a...
Lee, you don't want to pull your own...
All this stuff floating around.
Lee, you can't do this yourself, bless your heart, but I hope that they checked for blood. You need to see a good internist or a kidney specialist, a nephrologist, to look at that urine and see what's in there and make sure that, you know, sometimes red or pink urine can be blood. This time of year, your foods, beets, blackberries, rhubarbs can turn your urine pink or red.
None of that.
All right. Now, get the liver checked out, as Ken has suggested. Sir, best of luck. Happy holidays to you and your family. 888-553-7536. More coming up from Dr. Ken Kronhaus here on Good Day Weekend, Good Day Health.
The next generation Fidelity app for iPad connects you to your portfolio, worldwide markets, and powerful investment tools, all with the touch of your iPad. Richard Blunk, Executive VP of Digital Distribution at Fidelity.
Using Fidelity's new iPad app, investors can get a visual story of the market, generate trading ideas, and stay connected to their portfolio, which is especially important in today's volatile markets.
For more information, go to fidelity.com/new app. System availability and response times may be subject to mobile phone network and market conditions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The holidays are a time of hope and excitement for children. But with unemployment at a 20-year high and a record 16 million American children living in poverty, many children risk facing Christmas without a gift under the tree. Since 1947, U.S. Marine Corps Reserve units have conducted Toys for Tots campaigns nationwide to bring the joy of Christmas to America's most disadvantaged children. But while the economy means more donations are needed, it also means fewer people are able to donate. Lieutenant General Pete Osman, President and CEO of the Marine Toys for Tots Foundation, has more.
The need has never been greater. I would ask the American public to throw its support behind Toys for Tots this season by donating that new toy or making that monetary donation. Together, we can bring the joy of Christmas and send a message of hope to America's less fortunate children.
Toys can be donated to Toys for Tots at any Toys R Us or Babies R Us through December 4th. And money can be donated through December 24th online at toysfortots.org. As Americans, we must never turn our backs to the men and women serving in our armed forces. We at the Purple Heart know firsthand that there is more to war than bombs and bullets. The Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation, as combat wounded Purple Heart recipients, are truly veterans helping veterans, their families, and the community. Through your support and donations, the Purple Heart Service Foundation can provide programs that assist our veterans, their widows, and orphans. You can donate vehicles and other household items so the Purple Heart Service Foundation can assist combat wounded and disabled veterans and their families. Call today at 800-293-1343. Your tax-deductible donation also supports programs that help our soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. That's 800-293-1343 or purpleheartcars.org. Show your pride in America. The Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation is leading the way for disabled veterans and their families. Call 1-800-293-1343 or purpleheartcars.org.
The greatest speeches.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of all time.
Because this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
On The Conservative Voice.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Conservative Voice, a two-disc DVD or CD containing some of the most powerful speeches ever. Featured are Ronald Reagan.
Our government is too big.
Sarah Palin.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
George W. Bush.
I can hear you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Highlights of speeches from some of the most legendary figures in American political history can be yours now. Here's how to order.
To order, go to www.conservativevoice.us/Doug. That's conservativevoice.us/Doug. conservativevoice.us/Doug.
888-553-7536. Couple of other items of import. Drug alert info this week from Ken's research. There are a couple of different, I guess these are drugs, right, that are approved this week for various things that are maladies.
Absolutely unique drugs approved this week. The most common cause of blindness in the elderly, macular degeneration. This is a big breakthrough. Eylea, E-Y-L-E-A. Most of us know somebody with macular degeneration. Passed the word around. The FDA approved this drug for the treatment of the kind that really matters, the wet form. Eylea inhibits a factor that makes unwanted blood vessels that grow in the retina. The blood vessels can leak blood and fluid that can cause damage to the retina. And this Eylea, it's a remarkable drug. It blocks all forms of this factor called VEGF, which actually stimulates the blood flow, and it also blocks other factors that are similar. This is a breakthrough novel drug. Talk to your eye doctors. There's now hope. And we had another interesting drug that was approved this week.
And that is?
A drug that is the first drug approved for middle-of-the-night sleeping. It's called Trancep. Insomniacs, they're wide awake in the wee hours, Doug, and they now have a get-back-to-sleep pill. It's called Intermezzo. The FDA approved this pill this week for people who wake up in the middle of the night.
Wow.
The drug is a fast-acting, low-dose form of...
Go to sleep. Nighty night. All right, 51 past the hour, Dr. Ken.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Next up at 53 past the hour, as we were talking, that song brings me back around to this new drug. It's called Intermezzo, right? The middle of the night sleeping pill that you were talking about?
Yes, this is the first drug that the FDA has ever approved for those who wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep. It's called Intermezzo. It's a cousin of the drug which we all know of by the name of Ambien, but it's a low-dose, fast-acting form of this drug, Ambien. The key is that it can only be taken when people have had at least 4 hours of sleep time remaining. So if you wake up and you only have about an hour or two, this is not the drug for you. And the label also tells people not to drive for at least 1 hour after waking and at least 5 hours after taking Intermezzo. So if you're going to take it in the middle of the night, you can't get into the car and drive for at least 5 hours.
Ah, all right. Makes sense. That's actually common sense. It would appear to be common sense. Bonnie, let's get you on the air, so if we can help you out, we'll be able to do that in the time remaining.
You guess on that doctor question, is it the blonde hair?
No, the answer is redhead.
Oh, darn. Okay, I thought it was blonde because it was a lighter problem. But anyway, to my question, I have malignant melanoma cancer.
Bless your heart, Bonnie.
And it all started when they cut off a mole when I went up to the University of Iowa for a PET smear. And it just kind of developed, you know, and then I had a tumor that was about the size, a little bit bigger than a golf ball, and then the doctor up there had cut it off, and then I had another one growing, and he didn't want to do anything for me about the other one. So I got another one that size. Okay, so I got a little bitty one growing underneath that. Now, my question is that I got the dead tumor hanging on to the good tumor that's getting the better blood supply on the outside, and the bad tumor that grew in the vulval area is kind of rotten and smelling and not getting the good blood supply, and it's dead, and they're not recommending anything to do anything like laser it or to cut it out or anything because they just don't see any sense, and I don't know why, because it's dead, and I got an order from it, and the one that's on the outside is getting the better blood supply, and that's the one that seems to grow, but I have a pouch light from my first surgery, and...
Have you seen an oncologist, a medical doctor who specializes...
I'm taking Temodar. It's supposed to shrink tumors.
Right. So you
and this tumor is too big for it.
That, Bonnie, that was given to you by an oncologist, a medical doctor who specializes in cancer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Did you ask this doctor who can examine you to look at it and an opinion about this?
Well, I brought it up. I wanted him to see it, but he gives me CT scans instead.
What? I'm sorry?
He gives me the CT scans instead, so he doesn't have to look at it down there, I guess.
Okay. Well, have you been back and follow-up yet?
Yes, I go back and forth to him every month.
Okay. Bonnie, don't
give
up. And
I take the Timidar once a month.
Bonnie, don't give up. He needs to examine it, look at it. It's a little hard for me to give you an opinion about this without looking at it. But if it's bothering you, I would ask them, and if you're not getting an answer, you need another oncologist. You need to ask them why they're not doing anything about it. Sometimes, you know, if it's not broken, you don't want to fix it. Sometimes if you shake things up in a cancer area, you can actually spread things and make it worse. Sometimes you need to get it out because you don't want to adversely affect the flow. This is a complicated question that needs to be decided on.
What about the one on the outside? Is that going to get bigger and cause any complications?
Again, you know, I have to examine you to ask you that.
I'm sitting on it now, you know, and it's kind of uncomfortable, you know. I went to a funeral last week and I couldn't even sit down.
If it is bothering you, then that's a good reason to get it out of there.
Will the cancer grow inside me, do you think, if I have it removed?
Not an easy question to answer.
Bonnie, if it's bothering you physically, then I don't think you have a choice.
Right.
Because it's just going to
get worse. Is the cancer going to grow anywhere else, do you think, in this tumor?
No, you're doing is creating a situation.
My crystal ball, unfortunately, is not charged right now.
You're creating a situation. You're worrying about this. The stress is going to make it worse. You got to figure out a way to relax. It may be not easy because it hurts, and it seems almost like you have a no-win situation. But the more you ask questions like, is it going to spread to other parts of my body, those thoughts become things, and then...
Get a doctor who you have a good relationship, an oncologist who you're happy with, and you need a good, strong relationship. Just sounds to me like you don't have that.
DrKenShow.com, DougStefan.com, to sign up for the email newsletter.